a look at what the government shutdown means for the National Historic Park in Skagway, and troopers look for information on two moose left rotting in the field. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Marga Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. We received results for the Haines election just after midnight on Wednesday. The results are still preliminary and unofficial, and some results are close. But right now it looks like George Campbell and Diana Lapham have been elected to the Haines Assembly. Mario Benassi is just 46 votes behind Lapham, with a maximum of 49 absentee votes outstanding. Mathematically, Benassi could overtake Lapham when the absentee ballots are counted, although it's unlikely. For the school board, Sarah Swinton and Lisa Schwartz are the top vote-getters for two of the seats. The winner of the third seat is too close to call. Scott Dottridge is only four votes ahead of Artie Miller for that seat, with, again, 49 absentee ballots outstanding. And Proposition 1 passed by a margin of 546 to 416 votes. That means the Haynesboro Charter Preamble and Bill of Rights will be amended to say the rights in the Charter do not apply to artificial entities. In Skagway, Assemblyman Mark Schaefer was elected mayor in that uncontested race, and former Assemblyman Tim Cochran received the majority of the votes at 189 for the Skagway Assembly. He'll be joined at the table by Spencer Morgan, who received 171 votes. Duppy Takaro came in with 133 votes, and Tyler Rose received 89. Darren Belisle retained his school board seat. We'll have more on the election on this evening's local newscast.
You have reached Klondike Gold Rush National Historic Park. We will be unable to respond to your messages until after the furlough.
Record your message. That's the phone message callers got on Tuesday afternoon at the Klondike Gold Rush National Historic Park in Skagway, the largest federal employer in the Upper Lynn Canal. The park's Facebook page also says the page will be inactive until after the shutdown. That didn't keep people from commenting on the status, wondering if it's now okay to fish on Park Service land without a license. But Park Service law enforcement will still be on the job during the shutdown, according to Superintendent Mike Trunnell.
We will keep two people on for protection of life and property, which means mostly checking on the buildings, checking on our property, our assets in Skagway, just to make sure everything's okay.
Trunnell and his staff were busy Tuesday morning closing down operations at the park's visitor center in downtown Skagway. He said 25 permanent park employees were being furloughed in response to the shutdown, and he was instructed to shut the park facilities. The park also operates a campground and trail in nearby Dyea and manages the U.S. side of the Chilkoot Trail, a 33-mile trek over the Chilkoot Pass that retraces the historic route of gold seekers and crosses the U.S.-Canada border. Trunnell said the shutdown means the trail will be operated much like it is in the winter. Hikers aren't prevented from hiking the trail. There just aren't any park staff or resources to support them.
It's not closed, but there are no services that are provided, so we don't do any of the, we don't staff any of the ranger, the backcountry ranger cabins, so we don't have anybody patrolling the trail, and we don't maintain any of the facilities or anything. So we're not going to tell people not to go through on it, but if they do, they're completely on their own without any support services of any kind.
The silver lining in face of the shutdown may be that it's happening while the busy visitor season is winding down. During the summer, the park employs an additional 30 people, but most of those employees have already left town, Trunnell said. And there are few people using the trails, campground, or buildings at this point.
Because of the pattern of tourism in Skagway, once the cruise ship stopped running, which was September 25th this year, it's a dramatic slowdown, of course, in visitor use.
The Park Service also owns 25 historical buildings in Skagway. Many of those are leased by businesses, and Trunnell said most have shut for the winter. Year-round businesses that lease space from the Park Service, like the Skagway News and Bookstore, can still operate in their buildings during the government shutdown. There just won't be any staff to respond to the properties except in major emergencies, Trunnell said. Park employees will be notified through a website and phone message when they are able to return to work.
Our staff are instructed to check every morning to see if the federal government reopens, and then once it does, then everybody comes back to work and back to do what we want to do. So we all just want to be able to come to work and do our jobs.
The customs and border stations in Skagway and Haines are not affected by the shutdown. The agency website says border security programs will remain operational because they are deemed necessary for the safety of life and protection of property. Alaska State Troopers are looking for information about two moose that were recently shot in the Chilkat Valley during moose season, but left to rot in the field. State Wildlife Trooper Ken Van Spronson said Tuesday that the first moose was apparently shot around the first weekend of the hunt, which opened on September 15th, near Sheep Canyon Lake on the Upper Chilkat River. Van Spronson said the entire moose was left to rot. He also said its head and antlers are missing, although it's not clear if that was taken by the hunters or hauled off by bears that scavenged the carcass. Without the head and antlers, it's unclear if the moose was a legal size under hunting regulations. The second moose was located on September 28th in a swamp meadow near 10 Mile Haines Highway. Hunters had taken the quarters of the moose, but the rest of the meat and the head and antlers were left in the field. The 2x2 brow tine means the bull would have been sublegal under hunting regulations. Van Spronson said it's unclear exactly when that moose was killed. Neither moose was reported to Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Van Spronson is asking for anyone with information about either moose to call him at 766-2533. In our last newscast, we ran a story about how all of Southeast fared during this cruise season. Now, all of Del Sol takes a closer look at Skagway and the boom in seasonal business the Gold Rush town experienced this summer.
The boardwalks of Skagway are quiet now that the last cruise ship of the season has sailed out of town, but just a couple of weeks ago, the streets were crowded with travelers, which harkens back to a golden era in history. Skagway's tourism director, Buckwheat Donahue, draws a relevant parallel.
Like it was back in the Gold Rush in 1898, when we had a transient population back then, 115 years ago, of 10 to 12,000 people. And now we have the same number of transient population, except they're off the cruise ships.
The tourism industry is responsible for 90% of Skagway's gross income, and packed cruise ships equal financial security.
Our second best year ever, as far as cruise line visitors are concerned, with over 800,000. So it's a different kind of gold rush, you know, now versus then. But it all results in the same thing. Some people are making a lot of money, and a lot of people are making an okay living.
The difference between breaking even and prosperity is getting the word out to prospective customers. Earlier this year, the state announced that printed shopping guides and the port lecturers must now follow new marketing guidelines. These rules protect local businesses from misleading statements and smear tactics if they choose not to buy the advertising.
The Attorney General of the state of Alaska agreed with us. And just in the last 12 months, issued a ruling establishing parameters that the cruise lines and their representatives had to follow when it came to advertising and marketing.
Donahue believes that the rules have had a positive effect on the business community and have resulted in happier customers.
Yes, as a matter of fact, for the last couple of years, I've asked my staff to keep track of the number of visitors that come in here when they complain about jewelry store sales tactics on board the ships. And we've seen, since the implementation of the new rules, a drop of about 70% in the complaints from people off the cruise ships.
Kara Cosgrove has been a Skagway entrepreneur for over a decade.
I own Kermsey's Gallery, and we are just a retail fine art gallery and jewelry gallery of locally crafted merchandise.
Cosgrove has never bought advertising in the cruise ship guides, but over the years, she's noticed a difference in shoppers' attitudes about local businesses.
When they walk through our doors, are they highly defensive? Are they afraid to buy in a store that isn't on the recommended list? This year feels the same to me as last year, but have I noticed a difference over the course of the last 10 years? It has seemed to get better.
The upswing in business may also be due to increased accommodations on the cruise ships themselves.
Back in those days, the average capacity was 500, and now the average capacity is 2,600.
Donahue believes that connections to other routes of transportation have been the key to Skagway's flourishing finances.
500,000 people every year ride the train. And because they can take 8,000 to 9,000 people a day, that's why so many cruise ships come here, because everybody wants to ride the train. That's really the key to our success, is the train. It's not the historical legacy that we've left for the rest of the state, right? It's because of the train. The train is really the history of Skagway.
The wrap-up of the season is that 2013 has been a bounce-back year for business.
Fiscally speaking, it's been pretty damn good.
Reporting for KHNS, this is Olive Del Sol.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Olive Del Sol for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.